I'm Nicole Stevens. Come join me and let's walk with Jesus. Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening in again. Today, we have another testimony. And I know, as usual, I have not recorded in a while. Again, I think I'm really trying to focus on just the things that God's calling me to do right now as far as evangelism and just being a good steward at home and being involved in my church in other ways. Though I do think this podcast is important, especially for the fact that we can tell other people's stories about how they got to know Jesus themselves. And but I would encourage you, since I'm not releasing a episode every week like I used to, I still will release them on Mondays when I do, but that you would go ahead and subscribe to the podcast so that you would be notified anytime I do put out a new episode. But I hope you enjoy this one today. Thanks, Stacy, for being in the podcast today. Say hi, Stacy.
Hi.
So Stacy is a sweet friend that I've known for many years. So tell me, when we go to church together, yes. Tell me what year you started going to Oakland Heights.
Originally, we started Oakland Heights in 2005.
Okay, so that was 5 years before me. So then I met you there, and then we'll kind of get into like how things branched off mm-hmm. for a moment and whatever. So Stacy is super sweet. Like, she has the most like kind spirit you'll ever meet. Super helpful, super positive. I'm not just saying this because you're here. Sometimes I can be a negative Nancy, and then Stacy's like, let me help show you like how to have a great attitude. But she wouldn't say that to you. She wouldn't say that to you. She would just like word things in a really cool way. So she's been a really good example to me. But she's also the pastor's wife of the current pastor that we have now. And her son, David, is a sweet friend to my Josie, and then Abby is a sweet friend to Seth, and so it's been also neat having our kids get to grow up a little bit together, and just kind of want to personally know more about your story, and then personally have like other people hear more about your story. So tell us where you were born and just kind of your background.
Okay, well, I was born in Decatur, Alabama, and I have one sister. She's 4 years older than me. Let's see. I grew up in a home where my parents, both parents were there, and yeah, just a good, comfortable life.
Yeah.
I mean, there weren't a lot of troubles or anything for me growing up. So.
Now, did you go to church from the beginning of like your life? Is that something you always remember, or how did that end up going?
No, I didn't really grow up going to church consistently. Sometimes we went, but we were in one church that ended up having just some trouble, and it just wasn't a good situation with having a church split, and that was probably, I guess, the longest time that we went to church. When that happened, we kind of got out of going to church.
Yeah, that's hard.
So,
yeah. So when y'all stopped going to church, and then tell me like just your salvation experience. Like, did you get saved when you were young? Was that something older? Like, did you have a whole lot of knowledge about the Bible and the foundations and stuff? How'd that go?
Yeah, sure. I'll tell you. Well, funny story. I went to church with some of my friends. I think I was in first or second grade. And it wasn't at my church. It was at one of my friend's church. And my friend and another friend got saved that night. it was maybe a revival. I can't really remember, but I think I spent the night with my friend. But anyway, she was like, why didn't you get saved? We went down to get saved. Why didn't you do it too? So I was like, I don't know. Why didn't
peer
I do
pressure.
It?
Pressure.
So, positive peer pressure. So the next Sunday, I went to my church with my mom and dad, and I raised my hand to get saved because, you know,
everybody else was doing it.
I needed to. They did. So I remember praying with a leader, the prayer, but I didn't really know what I was doing.
Right.
It wasn't super meaningful, I guess. I just didn't really understand it.
Yeah.
And I do remember getting baptized, but it was soon after that that the church started having the trouble. And so we just kind of got out of church from there.
Yeah.
So I never really grew
yeah.
anything like that.
So you were just like a little squirt back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was little. And so fast forward to high school age, maybe middle school, high school. I went to church for like events with friends or, you know, just special occasions or camp or different things.
The fun stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't grow up in, I mean, I always felt loved and cared for, and my family was super moral, and but we just weren't very, like,
involved.
I just didn't
grow
spiritually or in, be involved in a church consistently.
Right. So at what point did that change in your life? What was, like, the pivotal time, the shift there?
Yeah. So through high school, I feel like I did, I would try to do good and, like, just because I wanted to do good. And I would go to church and I would try to make commitments, but nothing really ever changed in my life. I wasn't a bad person necessarily, but so anyway, that's through high school. I went to college in our community, to our community college on a cheerleading scholarship.
So fancy.
So anyway, I was in college. And I'll just kind of tell you this story that leads into my testimony of where I think my
real salvation
was.
That's why we're here.
So anyway, I was in college, just kind of living life, not really a godly life. I was living for the world.
Mm-hmm.
I had a boyfriend. He started going back to church. Like, our relationship wasn't glorifying the Lord. We weren't, like, acting Christian-like in our relationship, but he started going to church and getting interested in spiritual things and actually rededicated his life to the Lord. When we were, his family was visiting different churches, so we would tag along. And one of those churches was Decatur Baptist. And that's where he rededicated his life.
I'm just getting to know you better.
And but I did not. At that time, I didn't rededicate my life.
Right.
I wasn't really seeking spiritual things. I was just living life, I guess, for myself. And so naturally, our relationship became separate because he was now following the Lord.
Going two different paths.
And wanted to go to church all the time, to DBC. And I was like, oh, I don't want to go. And
I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah, what's going on? So that relationship ended. And then about the same time, I ended like the 2-year college where I was doing the cheerleading and all that. And so my little group of friends that I naturally had at college, we all separated and went separate ways.
Mm.
So I just kind of found myself like in a place of loneliness and
felt lost a little
no
bit.
Direction. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have close friends, and I just didn't know like what to do next. So I went back to church, the one I had attended when I was in high school, and I just remember being in a service and just the Lord just convicting my heart of, I just need to surrender it all to Him.
Mm.
And I just remember at that time, I did go to the altar and pray, and I just said, you know, Lord, my life is yours. I want you to take control of my life.
Yeah.
I give you the reins of my life. Just please, you know, just do what you want to do with my life, but you're in control. And I feel like that was my real salvation time, because that's when I had change in my life. My desires changed. I wanted to read my Bible. I didn't want to go to a party or things like that. I was just really super hungry for the Lord.
Yeah, like a switch that like turned. You're a new creature.
Yeah, yeah. That it was. So cool. It was like, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask again, how old were you when that happened?
I think I was 19.
Yeah. How cool. Yeah. And that's like a hard age. I don't think you see many people at that age.
Right.
Deciding they're going to surrender their life.
Yeah.
That's really special.
Yeah. It was a sweet time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I didn't like flip to be perfect. But there was an evident change in my desires.
Yeah.
To be close to the Lord and to grow.
Yeah. It's like now he's your personal father now versus maybe a God you knew about and whatever.
Right.
Now he's like, he's your daddy.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Okay. Well, cool. So then, so you got saved, or surrendered your life to Christ when you were 19, mm-hmm. and you weren't going out with that boy anymore. He was on his own path, and mm-hmm. you had figured things out later for you. So then what happened after that?
So after that, I started, I was just going to this church, you know, like every time I could, I would go. I was reading some devotional books, just different things like that. And there were a few college people at the church, so I was hanging out with them. Mm-hmm. But some sweet girls from Decatur Baptist kept calling me and coming to visit me.
Mm-hmm.
And they invited me to their college ministry. And so I went, despite ex-boyfriend being there.
But right,
I went, and, they had just a really thriving college ministry, and that's where I got plugged in. And I started reading my Bible, and I just had God's word poured into me.
Yeah. Well, and I do want to say that through the different testimonies that we've had on the podcast before, listening about how a change has been made in somebody's life because somebody just simply invited them to church.
Yeah.
And pursued people, you know, not because right. they were like just objects or, you know, sales yeah. numbers or something like that, right. but just because it's like God makes you love people, and then you love people and you want them to know the Lord, and you care about them, and
yeah.
and reaching out and making that person feel cared about and loved.
Mm-hmm.
And how you said that before you were feeling kind of lost, and, you know, mm-hmm. your friends disbanded and stuff.
Right.
And so I think it is so important that we take time to get outside of ourselves too. And I know you're really good at that, you know, just really reaching out to other people and making them feel loved. Yeah. So that's neat that happened to you. And that was, you know, a big part of your story.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I got plugged into the ministry there. I, got involved in personal discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
Although I was like, yeah, I'm kind of busy. I don't have time for discipleship. And
it's another thing in the list.
They were like, oh yeah, you'll want to do this. It was good. So, I decided, you know, start discipleship one. And, I was discipled by Darlene Hill, a lady in her church. Also I had gotten into at the same time, a different college for physical therapy assistant, which is mm-hmm. what I was wanting to do. So that worked out. And, I went through discipleship one and just continued the growth process, of discipleship one. And then I took some other classes like, discipleship evangelism, and
yeah.
it was called different things back then, but you know, basically
different label,
MTT. Yeah.
yeah, different label, but same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just continued in Bible study and ministry, and, finished my degree. Started working a job. I met James at Decatur Baptist. He was leading in the high school ministry.
Okay.
But he was still associated with the college ministry some. So
how old were y'all at that time when y'all met?
When we first met, maybe.
Sorry, I keep making you put ages.
It's been a long time ago. 21? Maybe 20, yeah. 21.
Because I remember seeing at least that one picture of like a group of you guys, and just how like not that you look old, but like how we all look so young 20 years
yes,
ago because
yes.
we were. And then you look back and you're like, what different dimension of time was this?
Right.
You know, it's like another, it feels like another lifetime because you have been through so many journeys like
yes.
since then. And it's just neat to see, just the very start of things. I think that's really,
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah.
So y'all met when y'all were young, and then mm-hmm. Did y'all like first hit it off, and then y'all started dating, or?
Well, it's funny. Okay, so I really wasn't pursuing a
right.
relationship. I mean, I was like, I don't want to date. I don't care. You know,
yeah.
just give me Jesus and let me hang out with these college people and I'm good.
That's what this discipleship's about, okay?
Yes. But yes, we did meet. And we were just kind of friends. Like, the group hung out together, like,
right.
college ministry a lot, all the time. But, you know, we would talk and kind
yeah.
of, you know, just hang out a little more, I guess. And after the group left, we may
get to know each other better.
Yeah,
yeah.
Something like that. So,
yeah.
So, we met and started dating. And for a while, we just kind of dated in the group. You know, it wasn't, like, super serious.
Yeah.
Like, we were together, but you know, other people were there too. So.
Right. So then what happened? I'm like, and then chapter four.
The marriage. James proposed on my birthday. We had, I feel like I just told this story to somebody. Our church had a coffee house on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to the coffee house meeting on my birthday, but it was actually a surprise birthday party for me that he had planned.
That's really sweet.
And then he sang a karaoke song to me.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Nope. I have it on video somewhere.
Look, I'm like, that's so sweet. That's not, actually.
Well, in the song, it's just a really old song that we like to listen to, but he, at the end of it, this is funny. Okay. Back in the day, people wore flannel shirts, like, over their t-shirts, okay?
Yeah, yeah. So, are we talking about the 90s?
Yeah. No, 2000s. But anyway.
So tomato, tomato. I guess it's close enough.
Well, it was. Yeah, it was early 2000s. He took off his flannel shirt, mm-hmm. and the back of his shirt said happy birthday, and he had his back to me.
Aww.
But then at the end of the song, he turned around and the front said, will you marry me?
Oh my gosh, there's so many surprises. At one time I would die.
And then he got on his knee and asked me. Aww. To marry him, so it was sweet.
That's sweet.
But yeah, we went through premarital counseling. We got married at Decatur Baptist, and then we started serving together in the student ministry.
Okay. There. So while you were dating, did you know that he, like, and I don't know if he knew that he wanted to like have his life given to God for ministry or whatever, or were you already there too, like giving your life to ministry for whatever? I know you said when you got saved, when you're 19, you surrendered to God, but you know, sometimes it's like different, you right. know, like, am I really going to surrender my life to the ministry in this way? Or how did that go with y'all dating, and what did you know about him, and were you there?
Yeah, well, so when we were dating, he did tell me, like, after we had dated for a while, that, you know, he surrendered to be a missionary, or when he thought he would be a foreign missionary,
right? Yeah.
And he said, you know, is that something that you would be willing to do too?
Yeah.
You know, and so we did have that conversation.
I'm assuming you said yes.
Yeah. I said yes.
Because y'all are still dating. Which, that's so cool that, you know, for somebody to already know that, but then also where y'all could communicate that and understand that, you know, before. It just sounded like a lot of getting off on the right foot about things, you know?
Yeah.
To be successful and all that.
Sure. Yeah. And we even had a time where, I mean, this is his part of the story, but I guess I can share it. Like, we were dating and things were kind of back and forth, you know, a little rocky at times. Mm-hmm. And he, in his reading, he had read about the children of Israel getting to this place where they had water, and they were thirsty and they came upon water, but it was bitter.
Hmm.
And so they were complaining about the bitter water. And I think Moses took a tree and put it in the water, and it turned the water to sweet water.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this story?
Yep.
I hope I'm saying it right, because it's been a long time since. Well, anyway, I've read about it. So, and so he kind of applied that to our relationship. And like in the scripture, the tree is a picture of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just needed to make Christ more of the center of our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we started reading our Bible together.
Yeah.
Like every time we had a date, we would read a chapter out loud of the Bible, and then we would pray together.
Yeah.
So it was really sweet.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a really cool, I mean, I guess that is the way that we should approach things, is from a spiritual aspect, and how a lot of us don't think to do that. We're usually like, we're going to either, you know, hash this out, we're going to talk about it, we just need to be nicer, we just need a different, like, human solutions and not biblical ones. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of how we started out.
Chapter five. Nicole wants to know everything. So that's really cool. So then, so y'all got married, and I guess y'all got married in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened? Like, did you say, did y'all start serving in ministry after y'all got married? And
Yeah, we served at Decatur Baptist in the high school ministry.
Okay. Yeah. I bet that's a lot of work, middle school and high school, and kids.
Yeah. We had, we were both small group leaders. So yeah, we each had like a little small group.
Right.
To lead. Yeah.
So how many, okay, nope. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm like wanting to ask all, no. Okay. So y'all were doing that in Decatur Baptist. Mm-hmm. How long did y'all stay there before, like at what point did y'all move to Georgia? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, where was the transfer here?
Yeah, we got married in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Joe and Debbie moved here. Joe and Debbie McKeg moved to Georgia in 2004.
Yeah.
If I'm
That sounds that right. good. I have no idea.
And at that time, you know, we were married. We didn't have kids or anything yeah. yet. So we, James and I started praying maybe we could go to Georgia too and just be... just help Joe and Debbie.
Yeah, like a support.
And, yeah, just support them and be their friends.
That's
and
sweet.
Whenever they need a ministry. And so, yeah, we started praying about that. And then a year later, we moved over.
Okay.
To Cartersville in 2005.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I came in 2010. And when I came, y'all were, I think, kind of, hang in, my brain is like... dissipating. I'm trying to think years because they're all muddled together. When I came in 2010, y'all were also, side note, there's children in the background as usual. So if you hear any, like, you know, war cries, it's just our kids. So in 2010, I think y'all were the youth leaders at mm-hmm. Oakland Heights Baptist Church. So between 2005, when you got there, and 2010, was there anything in those 5 years, because I'm like wanting to know all your business, apparently, like by year play.
We, when we moved to Cartersville, James became the youth pastor.
Yeah. Now like for you, you moved, well, both of you guys moved from your family. I know that mm-hmm. you came with Joe and Debbie, like after them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had them, but outside of Joe and Debbie, did y'all know anybody else or?
No.
So was that, like, how was that adjustment? I know it's like one state over. And I'm sure you could drive and visit your family, but right. like still being able to like mentally and physically uproot and move. How was that? I mean,
it was a little bit challenging. We had just built our first home
mm-hmm.
in Alabama.
Oh, wow.
James' grandfather was our contractor. He helped Aww. Us build a house. It was really sweet. So we were leaving that.
Yeah.
and so we sold it, moved over, and... well, actually, we didn't sell it when we moved. It was on the market still. So we still had a house payment, but we went ahead and moved over.
Right.
And because of that, we lived in Joe and Debbie's basement.
Yeah.
For the first.
And now Hannah and Daniel.
Yes.
It's so sweet. It's yes. like everybody's just being so sweet to each other.
So we lived in their basement probably 9 months until our house sold and we were able to find a house here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was... You know, it was a sweet time. It was kind of adventurous. It was like, yeah, we know yeah. the Lord wants us to do this. And also God showed me this verse that's in Matthew chapter 10. I'll read part of it. It says, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall not receive an hundredfold now this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life."
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of God reminding us, you know, if you know, not that we left to receive rewards, but if we, right. whatever we sacrifice, God will bless us.
Like being,
you know,
faithful.
Yeah.
That's like listening to the Missionary Roundtable and listening to Daniel Reed's and then Thomas Harding's episodes on there, and how mm-hmm. Kale also had said, make sure you have confirmation before you start doing whatever you feel like that right. God calls you to do, so that when it does get hard, you can go back and be like, oh no, God showed me like right here, or that God yes. gave you those verses to comfort you too, and to let you know, like, hey, I'm with you. Yeah. I bless your obedience.
Right.
Yeah. yeah. But that's sweet. So y'all came over to Oakland Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Did the youth pastoress, that's not a name, that's not a thing, the wife of youth pastor, did that thing now. Gosh, so 2010 is when I came, and what, so I don't know how do you explain this part. So when things start branching off, where Oakland Heights decided to start a church plant, mm-hmm. Connect Church in Emerson, which is like the next town over town, mm-hmm. kind of.
Yeah.
And so what year was that that started happening?
We launched the first service in 2012.
Okay. So, yeah, because I feel like I did not know a ton of people, even though I've been there for a couple of years, but like different right. things were going on. So you and James went and did a church plant there in Emerson, mm-hmm. and a couple people from our church also came over there yes. to do that. And that was like, what, 7 years? Was it 7 years?
Yeah.
Look, those are the years of completion, right?
It was 7 years.
Yeah. Completion, perfection.
Right.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about that at all? Sure. Like a little bit, go into detail of, you know, now here's a new thing that, that you need to go do with your husband because the Lord's calling y'all to do it. And how was that, in y'all's walk with the Lord and that time in your life?
Yeah, that's good. So we were involved in ministry at Oakland Heights, and James had just led a team on a trip to Mexico. And while he was in Mexico, God was just speaking to him about doing more in the ministry and, just stepping out and doing something new. He mm-hmm. didn't know what it was, but he just felt the Lord, telling him to do something else, something yeah. more, I guess. And at the same time, God was also speaking to Joe about planting a church, Oakland Heights planting a church. So when James came back from Mexico and they had like their meeting, staff meeting, whatever, I guess their thoughts came together yeah. and Joe was like, well, why don't you do a church plant?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it started.
There's like a lot of door knocking too, wasn't there? Like,
yeah, we did. yeah, it was sweet. We did, we started out just doing door to door surveys mm-hmm. in Emerson, and we walked the streets and did prayer walking. We did another round of surveys. We started some home Bible studies and
yeah,
all before we launched the service.
So a lot of tilling the ground and yeah. and hard work that went into it for sure. Yeah. So y'all went and did that for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And then our church was at Oakland Heights Baptist Church was really, I think it was just really sweet how, and I don't know how you explain this, but when we ended up merging our churches back together,
yeah.
it was such a sweet time because there's spiritual warfare that happens all the time,
right?
All the time. There's always, you know, Satan's always trying his tricks. And I just remember like when y'all merged back with us, it was like, some gaps that were there. It was like the Lord used it to cover that by bringing y'all back. It was just like a really sweet family reunification. Is yeah. that a word? Did
yeah,
I just?
Sure.
And that was really, and then getting to meet some new people that joined with Connect in Emerson, the church yeah. that y'all started, that had faithfully come and things like that. Getting to meet them
right.
and then work with them. I mean, that was so cool.
Yeah.
That was really neat.
Yeah.
So how is it for you? Like, you know, then y'all come back, and then now James is our pastor.
Yeah.
And that was really sweet too.
Yeah. I think just looking back, going back to when we did start Connect,
mm-hmm.
I just thought that really increased my faith and trust in the Lord of like, who's going to come to our church? Will anyone
right.
like show up, or how's this going to work? And it was just cool, the process of seeing God provide.
Yeah.
Like every step of the way. Like he provided a team from Oakland Heights that was just like perfectly fit.
Mm.
Like, you know, the different gifts of different people, like just really formed a great team.
Yeah.
He provided a building for us. When we were using the school, he provided a storage van. Just all the things.
Right.
It's just things you don't think about.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, what are we going to do with this? Oh, well, God provided this for
yeah.
us. You know, it was just really sweet. And it was just, I don't know. We were so invested in
right.
Connect. I didn't expect it to be hard going back to Oakland Heights, but It was emotional.
Yeah.
It was like the closing of this chapter that we worked really hard in.
Well, you know? And I think too, like, people feel that way about projects and stuff that they've invested a lot of time and effort and energy into. But then when you're talking about like relationships and people, and it's not that you break up with these people, like you know, take them with you. But yeah. At the same time, you go from a small, close knit family that has your own routines, your own, you know, dynamic at your home there.
Yeah.
And then now it's different.
Right.
And it's a lot more relationships. Right. <you know?
laughs>
Yeah.
We used to, let's see, James and I, we did mostly couples discipleship with couples. Like, us personally did that because, I mean, we were a couple and it was just easier to meet in couples like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just remember one of those couples saying, well, you know, we'll still be like together and, because we're all going to Oakland Heights too. But, you know, it was different. And James was like, yeah, but, you know, there's going to be a lot more people and it may, you know,
we might not see you.
It's a little different.
And, yeah.
But yeah, but it was sweet. And you're right. It was sweet seeing just the blend of, you know, just to, I mean, we're all part of the body of Christ, but locally. Just
right.
To, you know. Work together and function as a local church.
Yeah. So, one, I don't know if it, I don't want to say like taboo or like improper to talk about when you have spiritual warfare and Satan tries to get his foot in the door with stuff and then you have hurt in your church and things like that. And so like with us apart from y'all, you know, going through our own stuff,
right.
Where Satan had gotten his foot in there, not with everybody, just, you know, stuff and just really wanting to be, useful for the Lord and all united and all working for his glory and his will. And then just kind of feeling a little lost, you know, and it's like, I don't, and it was just, like I said, just the way that God brought, you know, connect and then our church together in the perfect way, exactly when it needed to happen.
Yeah.
For his glory. And like, also just being able to see just the fruit that has been coming and coming and coming over the years of all that, you know, and it's like, God knows just what you need when you need it for his purpose. Cause it's his story anyway. Like he's going to work it all together for his story. But it's just like being able to trust God being sovereign and knowing all that and being like, oh yeah, like he literally really does know everything and he really is all powerful and he really can, you know, so I think that has always been really special to me. I mean, I told Ann to Coker that when y'all first started coming, it was just like God knew exactly what we needed. And I know this is hard for you guys. I know that like y'all are kind of grieving and mourning this, but like you have no idea. This is like like God sent y'all to us in that way for what we needed at that time too.
Yeah.
And it's just been a beautiful like blend in that way. So
I agree.
I'll remember happy.
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, I'm thankful for, you know, God doing that.
Yeah.
And working it in his perfect timing. And even like for us thinking, you know, why, I mean, we did feel like, or James, you know, felt, this is what the Lord wants me to do,
right.
You know, to go back to Oakland Heights and yeah, it was crazy how like almost all of Connect at the beginning came with us.
Yeah.
Except a few people who had moved further out and just couldn't make the trek.
Right.
But yeah, so it was really sweet. And I think just leading up to just all the changes, like moving to Georgia, starting Connect and then coming back to Oakland Heights, all along the way, just seeing God's faithfulness and provision. That just helps us realize how faithful he is and how good he is to us. And just in the next steps, just knowing that, you know, that's what he's called us to do. So then he's proven to be faithful. So he'll take care of us.
Yeah, it's so true. It's like we read the Bible, we see what his promises are. And then we're like, but really? Except when you do like put the pedal to the metal and put your eggs in his basket and then you're like, oh yeah, I can't trust you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you said it.
Yeah, I am a good father and I'll take care of my children. So
just trust me. Yeah. I think it is neat where I mean, it's hard, but I think it's neat where we do have those opportunities to choose to put our eggs in his basket or not, you know? And then right. when we do that, we are able, like you said, to see his faithfulness, and it builds our trust in him. And,
right.
and then you can tell others, like, yeah, no, for real. Like, we've done this scientific experiment. But when we do it God's way, it actually works out. Every yeah. time you can really trust what he says. Like, yes. it makes sense. So that's neat. Like, definitely all through your life, like you're saying, how he's just proven himself to be faithful and trustworthy. So yeah. so now, pastor's wife here, and have been for, gosh, how long ago was that? 1924. Yeah, I'm like, what year is it? It's 2024. So yeah. 2019?
Yeah, it was the end of, you know what? It was December of 2018. So almost 2019.
Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah, gosh, and poor James is like, hello, COVID.
Yeah.
Let's go through this weird thing right, that's yeah. been so strange. And I will say, you and him both, and I guess this would be true of any Christian who is following the Lord and reads their Bible. But I would say that you and James both exemplify the wisdom of God in so many ways, like the way that, you know, you talk to people, like your advice to people, like how you lead other people. And so it's been like really great to be under both of y'all. So I know that you would probably dismiss that somehow. I see your face. I'm just like, but not like you really are a really great leader to the women. And anyway, so I just appreciate you. So anyways, anything else that, you know, you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, I'll just say, based on like what you just said, that, you know, James and I are just normal. Well, I'll speak about myself. I'm just a normal person. You know that, honestly. Yeah. I get to have a walk with the Lord, you mm-hmm. know, and I get to be part of Oakland Heights yeah. and, you know, be involved with the ladies there. And, I mean, it's just a blessing. I'm not anything special, but just thankful that God has saved me and gives me new mercies, and so when I do blow it or do something stupid, but you know, he's forgiving and loving and, yeah. and just a good father, and
yeah,
so yeah, it's a sweet blessing.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I'm not gonna say I love you. I love you. I do this every time. I do love you.
I love you.
Thanks for being in the show.
Of course.
And for those that are listening, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, it's the best thing you can know, just like me and Stacy, you're talking about putting all your eggs in his basket. Like, you can trust him. He's a good father. And I hope you're plugged into a local church. If you're not and you don't live around here and you need help finding one, just email me or send me a message on Instagram. And then if you live around here and you're not plugged into a church, come visit our church at Oakland Heights Baptist Church in Cartersville. All right. Thanks for being on the show, Stacy.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for listening in, y'all. And if you have any questions, prayer requests, or need a physical Bible, feel free to DM me on Instagram at walkwithjesuspodcast or email me at walkwithjesuspodcast@gmail.com. And I'll talk to y'all later.